Welcome to this week's podcast from Gospel Lighthouse Church in Blytheville, Arkansas. Let's welcome Pastor JC, Senior and Lead Pastor of Gospel Lighthouse Church.
Turn with me to the book of Joshua, chapter 6 and verse 1. Joshua chapter 6 and verse 1, and when you find it, shall praise the Lord. Joshua chapter 6 and verse 1 says, "Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in." How many has ever heard of the story of the Battle of Jericho, the walls of Jericho? Anybody heard that story? I think most of us has heard that story. We're going to be talking about this message that we've entitled, Led to a Wall. Is there anybody in this room besides me that's ever felt like you've hit a wall, that you've been led to a wall, like you just can't get any further? There's a book that I'm writing right now about my experience, and that's kind of where I've been in the, since the spring. I've got several pages written already, but I'm just like hit a wall right now. And I know what it's like to get to that place of hitting a wall. And so we're going to be talking about being led to a wall this morning. Take your neighbor by the hand as a point of contact and a sign of unity. And let's invade God's presence again. Father, we love you. We're so thankful for this privilege to be in your house. Let this word go forth in power and in demonstration of your spirit, a powerful seed planted in good ground to bring forth much fruit. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Led to a wall. So you've heard this expression, I hit a wall. I know when I was running in my younger years, I did a lot of running, and they talk about runners hit a wall. And I've heard different expressions of people talking about when you're in a race. I know Teenie knows what I'm talking about. When you're in a race, it's like you're doing real well, and all of a sudden it's like you hit a wall, something that slowed you down. You physically can't just get past it. And I think everybody has hit a wall. But this is what this means. I want to look at this definition, or this explanation will help us what hit a wall really implies. It means this. It means you've reached a point where you cannot go any further or achieve anymore. You've reached a point where you can't go any further and you can't achieve anymore. We see this happening in so many places. At school, we see it in organizations. We see companies hit a wall, and then they will come up with a different way of trying to improve their finances. And you see this in churches. You know, and I'm not talking about plateauing. Plateauing and hitting a wall are two different things, two different dynamics. I'm talking about hit a wall. And so I know what it's like to hit a wall. And it's one thing, though, when we talk about getting to a place where we can't move any further, we can't achieve anymore, we can't, you know, go on, it seems like. It's one thing to talk about hitting a wall, but I want to talk to you today about being led to a wall, because that's a totally different dynamic. Hitting a wall, but being led to a wall. I wonder, and sometimes I scratch my head and I think, God, what are you doing? Why are you leading me down this road? It seems like sometimes I go down a road and God, you're leading me, and all of a sudden I hit this place and I'm like, what do we do? I mean, how do I handle this situation? And so I think every one of us in this room at one time or another, we've all been led to a situation when we thought, oh man, either it's a giant in the way, or it's a situation that a circumstance that we're thinking, how am I going to be able to overcome this? How am I going to get through what I've been facing? You see that happening all through the scripture. Even in the New Testament, you see Jesus telling his disciples to who are professional fishermen, at least three or four of them are, and telling them to get in the boat and go across the Sea of Galilee, which is 8 miles wide. And I mean, they just experienced a great miracle, and here they're going, and all of a sudden they hit a wall. They hit a wall of wind, and they're not able to go any further. They're stuck 4 miles in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, and it's not this kind of a storm that we think like we had last night, but it's a windstorm. And it's like every time they position the bow of their boat in one direction to try to get, it's like the wind was fighting them. The Bible says the wind was contrary. And I think that's how we have had times in our life, how we have faced that. And I want to talk to you, though, about Joshua, because the battle of Jericho is a phenomenal battle. In fact, the archaeologists even uncover certain of these walls. And I've heard different teachings. I have not been there. I don't know how thick, but I've heard people say the walls were at least 15 foot thick. I don't know. It could have been a possibility. Doesn't matter if they were 5 feet or 15 feet thick. God was leading them to a wall. So we look at the backstory of Joshua. Joshua at Jericho. It's a very simple backstory. Here it is. God led Moses and a generation of Hebrews to the promised land. We know the story. He gets them out of Egypt. The people got scared as they're going up to, and we just talked about that a few weeks ago. The people are going up to spy out the land and are looking at the promised land, and they get scared. This is the problem they had. They refused to trust God. It didn't matter how insurmountable their odds were. They refused to trust God. Only two came back with a positive report. Everyone else came back with an evil report. So what happened? God refused to let them pursue any further. That should be a lesson in life. We must trust the Lord. And then we read at that generation of rebellious Hebrews, what happened to them? They ended up wandering in the wilderness for 39 years. Many of them, the majority of them, died in the wilderness, never getting to go into the promised land. And so it should be a great lesson for us. Well, after 39 years, Moses, he's brought to the high mountain. He's able to see the promised land, but he can't enter in. Moses dies. What happens next is Joshua and Caleb, but primarily Joshua, he's commissioned to lead the Hebrews into the promised land. And so here you go. Joshua's picking up where Moses, you know, should have never stopped. But here it is. 39 years later, Joshua is going into the promised land. One of the, I think, important things that take place is when they come up to the River Jordan. Joshua and the Hebrews and his army are coming up to the Jordan River, and if you remember, it's the priests are leading the way. And what takes place? A miracle happens. God parts the Jordan River. As soon as the priests begin to step, even put their toes into the water, the water begins to part. That is another promise. It's another replica of what God did with the Hebrews when they came out of Egypt. God parted the Red Sea. So you're seeing something happen here. You're seeing a pattern, how God is going before them and trying to encourage them. And so this is a miracle. God parts the waters, the Jordan waters. That's an amazing. And so they arrive to Jericho. They learn that Jericho, and as they can see it, that Jericho is a very walled city. It's very fortified. Walls surrounding this city. In fact, Jericho is a cursed city. You'll read on later about why it's cursed, but you see that this city is walled. Jericho became, in fact, if you'll go and look at the history tells us, Jericho became one of more than 30 Canaanite cities that the Hebrews would conquer. And so this is like the first one. This is the one, the big test. And I believe the miracle at Jericho is probably one of the most incredible events in history. It's incredible because you see the facts. I mean, archaeologists are talking about this. These are facts that they show you the proof that this actually happened. And so for years, this is a great lesson with Joshua. For years, year after year after year, Joshua had witnessed the parents of these young men. They're opening their mouths in the wilderness as they're wandering in the wilderness. And what are they doing? The parents of these young men that he's with now, they're complaining about their present circumstance. They're complaining even about the leadership. That's a very dangerous place to be. We talked about that last week. They're complaining about the leadership. And the result of their murmuring is this. They lost God's favor. You know, it's one thing to be disobedient to God and be rebellious and not trust God, but it's another thing to continue to complain and murmur. And as they murmur to complain, here they're looking at the food that God has provided, and then it comes to a place where God's not providing the food anymore, and they start complaining and murmuring. And they even say things like, well, it would have been better if we've stayed in Egypt. Am I preaching to anybody here this morning? And so Joshua hears this over and over again. People lost God's favor because of their complaining. But then now God does something that's interesting here, because there's a connection. God does something interesting. He uses an unusual war strategy with Joshua. He tells Joshua and his army to do the complete opposite of what Joshua had heard for 39 years. He tells them to remain silent for 6 days. He tells them, I want you to march around this city, and I don't want to hear a peep out of you. And what is interesting, Sister Charlotte, is this. These men that are marching around the city have just been circumcised. And they have used sharp rocks to circumcise men that are in their 20s, some even possibly in their 30s. Not little babies, men. Can you imagine the pain and the suffering that they are enduring as they're marching around the city with their mouths shut for 6 days? Doing the complete opposite of what they had heard their parents talk about and complain. They are quiet for 6 days and are marching around the walls. Now look at the book of Joshua chapter 6 verse 4. It's going to be on your screen. It says, and seven priests shall bear before the ark seven trumpets of ram's horns. And the seventh day you shall compass the city seven times, and a priest shall blow with the trumpets. Look at verse 5. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with a ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, it says, what does it say? All the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend upon every man straight before him. So he gives him this unusual war strategy, but he says, at the seventh day is when you're going to shout. And when you shout, that wall that I have led you to is going to fall flat right before you. And as it has fallen flat, and your assignment is to go into the city and take the spoils. All except for Rahab the harlot, and that's a different story. So the miracle happened when the people shouted with a great shout. Do you hear what I'm saying today? You have hundreds of thousands of people yesterday watching college football shouting for their favorite team to win, right? But you have a different scenario here where God is telling the people of God at this specific time, when you hear the trumpet, when you hear the Levitical priesthood begin to worship the Lord and praise with their instruments of ram's horns, which would be a shofar, when you hear that noise, then I want you to shout. And when you shout, a miracle is going to take place. Your wall is going to fall flat. There's a possibility today that the wall you have hit will only fall flat when you begin to give God true and authentic praise. You understand what I'm saying? It's more than just emotionalism. It's more than sensationalism. It's more than the hype. And I don't know about you, but I didn't come to serve God with hype. I come to serve God with health. I want God's blessings upon my life. And I want to learn how to give Him a true, genuine, authentic praise. Not something that just has to be built up by somebody else. I want to have it in my heart. I want to say, where He says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. I was outside and I was watching our children. They were playing baseball and I was just having a great time. And I was just enjoying the weather. And I began to see this large tree that's just about a street over. And I saw it as it was just moving in the wind. And the thought came to me, I don't want the rocks to cry out in my place when I'm going to give God true, authentic praise. And I saw that tree dancing in the wind. And it was just, it just blew wherever. And the wind was circulating. And I was thinking to myself, that tree is giving God praise. I want to have a lifestyle of always giving God the glory and the praise for all the things. It doesn't have to come. It isn't because what God is. He's not a Santa Claus, and because He gave me a gift, I give Him praise. No, I praise Him whether the gift came or not. I give God a true, authentic, pure praise because of who He is. Can someone say hallelujah? The reason I do that is this. There is a manifested power release when we offer God sincere praise. It's a power. It's a hidden power. It's a power that only comes from God. When we give Him a sincere praise. Look at Psalms 22 and verse 3. It says, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabits the praises of Israel. We say, well, God inhabits the praises of his people. That's basically what we get from this scripture. But it's God is enthroned from our praise. It's a reminder that God is on the throne. And I want someone to know that this morning. You may have gotten some bad news this week. You may have got some things, you know, in your family that's going on. God's on the throne. Instead of going to the phone, go to the throne and give God all the glory and the praise and watch God do the work in your life. Can someone say amen? In our opening text, Joshua chapter 6 and verse 1, it said, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And so it tells me, I guess I can just tell from this scripture out of the King James Version that Jericho knew the children of Israel were coming. They had already heard about this great... I mean, think about it, Sister Pastor Jamie. They are wandering around, and it's not like they were all around, you know, way down south of Saudi Arabia. They were just right next, right across the river. I mean, they're just that close. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist or somebody with a lot of, you know, intelligence to realize, hey, there's 3 million people out there stirring up dust. There's something going on. And so Jericho is fortifying themselves. The part I want you to see is where none went out and none came in. Led to a wall. There's no doubt many of you today, you've been led to a wall. Been led to a wall. Personally, I've been led to a wall for some time now. Just went to the doctor a month ago, and they had already, you know, it was one of those scenarios, some of you know, one of those scenarios where you make an appointment. I made an appointment at the beginning of the year. The appointment gets pushed back. I kept getting pushed back. Oh, then the doctor said, well, we're just going to get a different doctor, and it pushed it back. And then finally I make to the appointment, and I'm sitting in there, and the doctor looks at me and says, well, there's nothing I can do. I looked at your, you know, your all the things that you've been through, and I've tried to understand it, and I can't do anything for you. So they give me some information, a document, and say, here, a pamphlet, and say, here, maybe you should try them. And it's just hitting a wall. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Led to a wall, hid to a wall. And this is the thing. I think, and Levi, this is the reason I think God has led me to a wall. This is what I'm getting out of. Now, I may be wrong, but this is what I think I'm getting from this. Almost 4 years of suffering with disembarkment syndrome. I think God there's areas in my life that God wants to prove me strong in my faith in him. Maybe that's why, and that's what I just have to come up with. That's my conclusion. I'll never get closure, but that's my conclusion. Maybe God is saying, well, I'm allowing you to go through the things, the death of your mom, going through, you know, attacks, personal attacks, accusations, false accusations from people who call themselves Christians, and all this stuff that you're going through, financial stress, you know, and everything that's happening in your life, and getting over pneumonia, you know, the battle that my wife had with the wasp and being put in a hospital, you know, all these things. And I think God's just saying, I'm just improving your strength. I'm improving your faith in me. That's what I can only get from this. And so my prayer is this, is that you and I will understand not only ourselves, but we will be convinced of God is in control of our life. Like we sang, we can trust in God. Everyone in this room, you have a story. Everyone in this room, your story is different than mine. But this is what I know. As long as your story ends with Christ, it's going to be an amazing story. And that's what I want my story to end with. I want it to end with Christ. I always want it to end with Christ. And as long as your story ends with Christ, your story is going to be amazing. You have an amazing story. The stories that don't end with Christ are sad stories. So I want to talk to you today about four stories, or four, we're going to call them struggles. Four struggles that we have when we're led to a wall. How many of you can just say, hey, that's me. I'm led to a wall. I feel like I'm at a wall right now. I want to talk about four struggles that you and I, we have. Maybe you can see yourself in this. Number one, and it's going to be on your screen, the struggle over wondering. You saw these children of these Hebrews. We say children of Israel, but they're not necessarily Israel yet. But these Hebrews, they've been wandering, and there's a struggle over wandering. And there's some people in this room, you wonder what's ahead in your life. You're wondering, should I follow on into this medical degree? Some of you are wondering about, you know, personal business. Some of you are wondering about your family. Some of you are wondering about your marriage. You're wondering. You're wondering even about the church and the ministry, and wondering what's going on in this world and in this nation. Wondering maybe even with the politics that's going on, right? All this wandering that's happened. But I'm going to say this, and this is the truth. We've all lost our way one time or another. Everyone in this room, we've all lost our way one time or another. I want you to see this. It's going to be on your screen here. Wandering is never found in a place. Wandering is found in a person. And this is what the problem with the children of Israel are, or the Hebrews. They're wandering, and they're thinking they're going to find it in this place. And there's people in this room, you're wondering, and you think, well, if I can go here, you know, there's so much church division. Because people think, well, the grass is greener on the other side. By the way, the grass is greener only because there's more fertilizer, right? And they wonder, people wander from job to job. You know, people wander from marriage to marriage. Wandering around. And listen, it's never going to be your key, your answer is never found in a place. It's always found in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. He will always guide us and direct us into the right places. Look at Isaiah 53 and verse 6. It says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You know what that basically is saying? Basically saying we've all made our decisions, and it never was the devil, it was a decision. We've made our decisions, and it's led us away from God. And Jesus went to the cross to die on a cross for us for our mistakes that we've made. It's amazing. I heard this story, and I thought this was interesting. This is about shepherds who are in the Holy Land. And they still are in the Holy Land, and they're still tending sheep. And this is a true story here that this takes place with these shepherds. I heard that sheep will often wander off into rocks and get into places that they can't get out of. Does that sound familiar to some of us? In the Holy Land, the grass is so sweet on some of the mountain drop-offs that the sheep like it so much that they will literally jump down 10 to 12 feet to eat that sweet grass, but they can't get back up. The shepherd will hear them bleeding in distress, even for days. They'll have these sheep and they'll be bleeding in distress, even for days, after they've eaten all the grass. The shepherd is waiting until the sheep have eaten everything, until the sheep realize that they are in a place where there's no more food and they can't get out of the place that they wandered in. Think about this. It's at that hopeless moment, the moment the sheep realize they have wandered into a place that they can't get out of, that it's then the shepherd comes and rescues them. Has anybody been rescued before? I've been rescued. I found myself drifting, making a bad decision, bad choice, drifting from God, or maybe saying the wrong thing, and God just like, well, I'm just going to let him, you know, settle in what his mess for right now. And then when he gets to the point to say, hey, he's repenting, he is realizing that he has made a horrible mistake, then I'm going to come and I'm going to rescue him. I think I know I'm talking to some people in here. I like what the book of Psalms division, and we're going to look at Psalms division 107. I love Psalms because it really helps us understand of these struggles that we have. We can identify with them when we're led to a wall. Look at Psalms 107 verse 4. It says, they wandered. Everybody shout wandered. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted to them. They cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their stresses. But look at verse 7. And he led them forth by the right way. that they might go to a city of habitation. Now, I'm going to pause there because I want you to help me preach. Look at verse 8. I want us to all read verse 8 together. Ready? Count of three. One, two, three. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. So we look at number one, the struggle over wandering. Number two, the struggle over regrets. Everybody say regrets. Anybody in here besides me have regrets? You know, it's okay. We're real here. Anybody in here besides me have regrets? We all have regrets. Now look here, and this is going to be on your screen. It's one thing for God to lead us to a wall. However, it's another thing for us to lead us to a wall. See, we're being led to a wall, but I want God to lead me. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, right? I want God to lead me. And if he leads me to a wall, well, there's a reason for him to lead me to this wall. He's going to show me a miracle. He's going to show me his power. He's going to show me how the walls can fall flat right before my eyes if I trust in him. But it's when I lead myself to a wall. That's where I see myself getting in a very dire strait. Many of us have jumped into a situation without the leadership of God. Many of us have. Look at Psalms. Let's continue in Psalms 107, verse 10. It says, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. Look at verse 11. Because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. They were rebellious. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. They cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands in sunder. That's our God. He's an amazing God. But it's a sad fact that we get to that point. And that's where the regret comes. I made a mistake. I was rebellious. I wanted to go my own way, do my own thing, make my own mind up. And I made a mistake and we have those regrets. But thank God, even in the midst of our darkness, even in the midst of the shadow of death that we face, and may not be physical death, but spiritual death, God still loves us enough through grace and mercy to help us overcome those regrets that we may have. Look at the next verse, verse 15. Let's all say it together. One, two, three. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Look at number three. Number three is the struggle over health. We've all needed healing. Some great advice is this. Doctors will help us, but God's the only one that can heal us. Right? They give us medicine to help us cope. A lot of that medicine, though, has side effects, right? And we're like dealing with the side effects now, right? You know, in my case, there's no medicine. People have said, well, won't you try this? Won't you try that? Won't you try that? I mean, there's really no medicine. The only medicine I have other than God's word is to be active. Be active. And then if it gets to the point where I can't stand and it's just so dizzy, I can't even, you know, stand or do anything, just lay down. You know, it's been kind of the routine for my life. But God heals. Doctors help, but God heals. And this is the thing. Sickness has a disparity. It does. Look at this next point. Put the point up, Caleb. The struggle over health reveals our mortality. When you're sick, you feel like you're dying. And you realize, I mean, you may have the flu, you may have pneumonia, Lord help us, don't have COVID. You may have all of these things and you're sick, you're high blood pressure, your heart's palpitations, you got panic attacks, you got all of these things going on in your life. And it is a wake-up call to you and I to tell us, hey, we're going to die one time or another. The struggle over health reveals our mortality. It is a fact that we will not live forever. It is a fact, at least here on this present planet, because we will have eternal life one place or the other. Look at the scripture, Psalms 107, verse 17. Let's continue. It's on your screen. Fools, because of their transgressions and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. They cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saves them out of their distresses. Look at verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from destruction. Man, that's crazy, amazing, awesome. Because, see, we're at this wall. We're led to the wall, maybe even in our health. Led to a wall in our health and wondering, how am I going to receive this miracle, this healing? And God is saying, put your trust and your confidence in me. Know that I can send the word and believe that the word can heal. Pastor Carl was even talking about this to me before service. And he was talking about it in the old tent revivals in the 40s and in the 50s with people like A.E. Allen and Jack Cole and different. He said what they would do before they even set up the tents, they would have an hour to 2 hours of teaching people the word of God to help them understand what God's word. It is God's word that brings the healing. It's not a personality. It's not a person. It is Jesus Christ through his word. The word was made flesh and the flesh dwelt among us, and that word is available for to us today. That's when I pray over people. I say through the authority of God's word, let there be a manifestation of God's power and his healing in their life. You may be led to a wall and it's a struggle over your health. Look at verse 21. Let's all say this together. Uno, dos, tres. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children. Man, you all are preaching with me today. You guys sound great. Let's look at the last one, number four. The struggle over storms. Anybody ever been through a storm lately? Recently had storms in your life? The struggle over storms. We hit a wall, maybe. The storm is the wall. We're led to a wall. We all face storms. The purpose of storms are to improve our faith and trust in God. Right? Just to trust the Lord. Just to help us through it. Put this on the screen. This is my final point here on this segment. It's only during a storm that a tree knows how strong it is. You know, I've heard one of the best messages ever preached was about the palm tree. You know, these palm trees that survive in the Caribbean and other places, but primarily the high winds from hurricanes, but they're still able to stand. They're so resilient. And I'm looking at people this morning who are resilient in the faith, who are strong in the Lord and the power of his might, who have faced storm after storm after storm, but you're still standing. Look at your neighbor and say, hey, neighbor, I'm still standing. There's a song. Was it Elton John that sung that song? I'm still standing. I'm still standing. You are a lot stronger than you think you are. Truly are. A lot stronger than you can imagine. Well, the purpose of these storms is to improve our faith. Look at Psalms 107, verse 25. We're about to close. It says, for God, or for he, commandeth and raises the stormy wind which lifts up the waves thereof. Let me pause for a moment right there. When those men, those disciples, those professional fishermen were on that boat and Jesus told them to go to the other side, don't you think that God directed them in that direction on purpose and with purpose? That God knew that there would be this wind storm that would be contrary to them. Don't you think that when God was leading Joshua to these walls of Jericho, God knew in advance? I think there's a lesson there for everyone in this room. You may be facing some storms. You thought, man, you're surprised. You're caught off guard. But God knew about it. He knew about it way before we ever knew about it. That's why we need to develop this trust and this faith in him. And that's so amazing. We see he commands the storm, which lifts up the waves in them. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. Look at verse 27. They reel to and fro. They stagger. I can identify with this. They stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Anybody ever been there? At their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. Look at verse 29. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. I mean, what manner of man the disciples say, you know, and here they are in another situation, and Jesus just tells the wind, you know, the storm, the peace, be still. And the disciples say, what manner of man is this that even Mother Nature can, you know, obey his command? And this is written thousands of years before Jesus even walked this earth. And he's talking about he maketh the storm a calm, and so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. In other words, to that place of rest, that position from point A to point B, to that place that God is leading them. He brings them. Let's all say verse 31 together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. So how do I apply this to my life? So what, now what? How do I go from auditing this message to applying it? How can I go from description to prescription? How can I make this message led to a wall? How can I make it count for life? Let's look at this. I believe this is how help us. Joshua 6:1 said this. Look at it one more time. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. I really believe the best way to make true and pure application of this message is to never allow your wall to define who you are. I had to have that. I mean, that was like a year and a half ago. I was just dealing with this, and everybody asking me. I had people ask me. The principal at the high school asked me how my health was. I had different people asking me how my health was, and I always tell them, you know, I got this going on. And I got to the point where that was defining me. The dizziness was, there's that dizzy guy. Dizzy, you know, I don't know why Dizzy Gillespie was called Dizzy Gillespie, but, you know, Dizzy JC. I mean, I don't know. They got some rap people, I think, called Dizzy. But anyway, I didn't want that to define who I am. I don't want people to think of me, oh, he's just that guy that's dizzy all the time. Right? And so you can't let your wall define you. God's led you to a wall. Maybe it's a marriage issue. And that's all people talk about is the brokenness and the struggle. Or maybe it's children who are messed up on drugs. And that's just all they define. They define that they see the last day, your last name, and they say, oh, that's that person. You know, don't go around them because they're all druggies. You know what it may be. Maybe it's a bad financial status. Maybe you got a bad name financially. Maybe you got debt and bankruptcy and all these things. Oh, don't let that insist. You cannot let that wall define who you are. This is what you do. You let God define who you are. You are who God says you are. You are who God says you are, not what somebody else says. And if they'll go ahead and they'll talk and they'll describe who they think you are, and just let that fall on deaf ears and say, I am who God says I am. This is amazing today, and I see this. Look at Joshua 6:20, because we need to move on to this teaching. It says, and it's on your screen, it says, so the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout. Look what happened. What happened? The wall fell down flat. The wall fell down flat. I would have loved to have seen that. Then it says, so the people went up to the city and every man straight before him, and they took the city. See, there's a manifested power released when we offer God sincere praise. When you offer God sincere praise. So if you're here this morning, and let's all stand together. If you're here this morning, and if you're wondering, going round and round, if you have regrets, oh, I wish I didn't do that, or if you're in bad health, or maybe you're here and you're in a storm, just in a storm, I want you to know this. If you're in these areas, and it's on your screen, Caleb, if you're wondering, if you have regrets, if you're bad health, have regrets, if you're having all this going on in these storms, shout. Look at your neighbor and tell them, shout. Just shout. I was And I've told this before. I was pastoring in up north in Missouri and been there for some time. And I just was there late and was coming home after service, had things doing. I was by myself. Caleb and Levi and Mom already went to the parsonage, and we were by ourselves, and the parsonage was across town. And I just had this, I don't know why, I had this Jeep Rubicon. Some of you remember my Jeep Rubicon. Had the top off at the time. It was nice, cool weather. I just got in that Jeep Rubicon, and I, instead of turning, going home, something Haley just told me to go another direction, go off the beaten path. And I did. And I just found myself on this highway. I don't know why. And I was very careful, but I just started shouting, praising God, calling God, just loving God, just praising Him. It was, I didn't get it. It wasn't like I got a, you know, envelope full of money. It wasn't like everything was just going great, you know. I just had this desire to praise God, to give God glory. One more story, because I was looking over here at the Guerrero family, and I was thinking about this. One time, Sister Rebecca, one time I was working, and Mark was my foreman. You know, he passed away a few years ago, but Mark was my foreman, and I had this 50-gallon drum barrel, and I had this miter saw, and I was to cut these soap bars made out of cedar, and these cedar soap bars were measured exactly 2 inches and 15/16. 2 15/16. They weren't 3 inches. I never understood why. They had to be 2 inches and 15/16 exactly. And I had to cut, and I had to fill up. They're just this big, but I had to fill up this 50-gallon drum, big metal barrel. I had to fill it up. That was my. And I had to just cut, move it over, cut all day long, 8 hours, move it over, cut. And I had a little window there, and I decided, every time, Sister Janie, every time I would cut that piece of wood, I would say hallelujah. Because, see, hallelujah, they say, is 10,000 praises unto God. And every time, I don't know, but I know I filled that up. I don't know how many times I did it, but I would just pray, hallelujah, cut it, hallelujah, cut it, hallelujah. Just kept. And I was just getting excited, and I was getting happy and joyful. And I saw this gentleman who worked at another station, and he was making these little cedar, little round balls, these little cedar balls, and he was just sitting there, and I was just looking at him, and I'd look at him, and I knew he was away from God. He was running from God. He was a preacher's son. He was running from God, and I was doing hallelujah, hallelujah. And I was looking at him, and it really irritated him that I was just getting happy. He said, hallelujah. I look at him, hallelujah, hallelujah, just like telling the devil, hallelujah, hallelujah. And he got so mad. He picked up this big cardboard, and he put it over the window where I couldn't see him anymore. Mark was my foreman, and Mark went over and got onto him and said, hey, you can't have that window. We got to have that window for security reasons, safety reasons. And so he moved the cardboard, and I still go, hallelujah, hallelujah. Some of you need a hallelujah anyhow in your life. You're going through health problems. Hallelujah anyhow. You're going through some regrets. Oh, hallelujah anyhow. The past is the past. God has taken my sin and thrown in the sea of forgetfulness to remember no more. So I'm not going to remember it anymore. Some of you, you're going through a storm. Like, oh, no, not another storm. Oh, when it rains, it pours. You go, no, hallelujah anyhow. I'm just going to keep on wandering around. Maybe you're here and you're wandering around from place to place. And God is saying, I'm trying to put your foot in a sure place. I'm trying to get you rooted. And how am I expected to get you rooted and take you places if you just can't sit where you're at right now? Ooh, that will preach. But God is saying, I want you to quit your wandering. Quit being a sheep going from green, this green pasture, and getting yourself in trouble and always coming back. No, get yourself sit down, right? And straighten up and let me mold and shape your life and nourish you the way that I want to nourish you. Can somebody give the Lord a good hand clap for praise? This is amazing. So this is what we got to do then. Put Psalms, put it up. Psalms 107 verse 31. Let's all say this together. All right. And this is the assignment. As soon as we're done, when we say works to the children, when we say the word men, I want you to shout the loudest shout of voice of triumph that you have got in you, okay? Don't give me this little hallelujah. Don't give me that, because you yell at the Arkansas Razorbacks because they cannot win a game a lot louder than you ever yelled at church. Amen. Some of you got hit hard on that one. I want you to, here we go. Ready? When we say the children men, I want you to shout, the biggest shout you ever get. Ready? Look at Psalms 107, verse 31. It's read it, uno, dos, tres. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a good hand. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a good hand clap of praise. That's awesome. What if we all determine? This is my determination. What if we all determine to shout a great shout? Amen? To shout a great shout. To shout the voice of triumph. What if y'all just, that's my makeup. I'm just going to give God the praise and glory. What if we all determined to do that? How's that going to affect you, your family, your job? They may think, wait, somebody I think has an email. Is that Haley that has a crazy praise email? I mean, just give them a crazy praise. Not that you're crazy, but they know that you're going through some things in your life, and they think that's crazy that you're going to give God praise. That's not that you're crazy, not that Haley's crazy, right? That we're giving God praise. And it looks crazy to the world because we're going through such difficult situations in our life. That's the shout that God is looking for. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, we love you. We thank you for the reading of this word. We thank you for this message. We thank you for the help of the Holy Spirit. And we always give you all the glory and honor for everything you've done in our lives. And there's some people in this room I know has hit a wall. We've already identified ourselves. We've raised our hands. We've said, yeah, it was me. I've been led to a wall, and I'm hit to a wall, and I'm just struggling. Really, if that's you this morning, and you say, I'm struggling and wondering, or I'm struggling with my health, or I'm struggling with regret, or I'm struggling with the storms that I'm facing, and I just don't know how I'm going to make it. If that's you, you say, Pastor, I want you to pray and help me and stay away. I want you to hold your hand up high. Say, pray for me. Pray for me. I'm just struggling. I know who I'm talking to. I know who I'm talking to. You're here today and you're struggling. I want you to know today, God sees every detail of your life. Don't listen. This is for somebody right now. You don't have to explain it all. God has never asked you to explain your situation to everybody. What God wants you to do is to trust in His Word and let God explain His Word to you. Sometimes you're just trying to explain it to everybody so you maybe can get a little edge. And it doesn't work like that. Let God explain His Word to you and trust in you. Maybe God is just telling you to be silent. Maybe you've done all the complaining and maybe you've ran your mouth and done all the complaining and murmuring. And God said, hey, I just want you to be silent. And then at the moment I tell you and I release you, I want you to shout. Maybe that's you today. I don't know. But I do know this. Because of your honesty and your integrity, God sees you, He knows you, and He's heard your prayer. If you're here today and your life is outside of Christ, maybe you believe different, maybe you're away from God, what an opportunity and privilege you have right now to learn that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. He is the propitiation of our sins. That means He's our Redeemer. He redeemed us. He's helped to give us hope. Maybe you're here this morning and say, I want you to pray for me that I can come to the knowledge of the saving power of Jesus Christ. Maybe hold your hand up and say, that's you. I want to know Jesus. I want to know Jesus as my Savior. Whatever the case, yes, I see hands in this room. Whatever the case, I just know this, that God loves us and He cares for us. We have plenty of time. This is what I wanted you to do. If you raise your hands for anything, I want you to come to these altars. Just kneel, and I want you to pray. I want you to seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's near. Somebody's going to get a breakthrough. Somebody's going to get a breakthrough through this. Because I'm going to share with you here in a few moments about something that happened in my life just the other day at 4 o'clock, 4:12 in the morning. 4:12 in the morning, something happened in my life, and I'm going to share with you what took place.
To find out more information about who we are, our ministries, and our service times, please log on to our website at myglc.org.